Romans chapter 4. If you would, turn with me to Romans chapter 4. To the natural man, if you believe that God is able to do what he says he's going to do, and we look at Abraham first, Abram was justified before men, but he wasn't justified before God. And a lot of times you'll hear the term, and it's a fair term, that he was a good man, but not before God. See, God's perfect, and you can be a good man and you commit one sin, and then there's a requirement. The wages of sin is death. So you got to watch out for that. First of all, I want to look at the negative sense of Adam's sinfulness that was imputed to us. That means it was reckoned to us or charged to our account. And for as by one man, the Bible said, sin entered into the world, and so death by sin. For that all have sinned, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So we have the imputed guilt of sin. We're born with a sinful nature because of Adam. Now, Jesus Christ is referred to as the last Adam, or the second Adam. And then it's that passage is defined in a few verses down that says, the first Adam was of the earth, earthy, but the last Adam was the Lord from heaven. So it defines that Lord from heaven, and it says the last Adam was a quickening spirit. So when Adam sinned, he died. Now, he didn't die physically. We know that because the Bible says he lived another 800 years or so. And we know his soul didn't die because the Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? So what died? His spirit died. We lost spiritual life through Adam. When God withdrew his image, his spirit, from Adam. And after that, the Bible says that Adam begat sons and daughters after his likeness. That's fallen Adam with a dead spirit. Live body, alive soul, but his spirit was dead. That was the image of God. When God breathed into him the breath of life, he's alive physically, but spiritually he's dead. Ye who were dead in trespass and sin, hath he quickened together. So Jesus Christ is a quickening spirit. And just as Adam's sin was imputed to us or charged on our account, we had a sinful nature, separated us from God. God can't hang out with sin. He had to withdraw himself from Adam and Eve. But so here we are. We're born with that nature, and we have a propensity to sin because it's who we are. I heard a preacher say, and I agree with this, we're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. We're born with that sinful nature. That's who we are. So whenever you trust Jesus Christ, something happens, just as it happened to all that followed Adam. All that believe in Christ, there's a righteousness that is imputed to you. It's reckoned to you, and it's charged to the account of Jesus Christ. For Christ became the end of the law for righteousness to all that believe. Imputed righteousness. It's reckoned to us. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And then in Romans 5:19 it says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Now in 2 Corinthians 5:21 it says, for he hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The Bible says that our lives are hid with Christ in God. That's imputed righteousness. We're reckoned to be righteous through the righteousness of the one we're trusting in. My sins are charged to him. He paid my debt. God's wrath was satisfied with the Lord's atonement for our sin. The Lord looked up, said, it is finished. The Father, when he saw the travail of his soul, said, I'm satisfied. That was it. That was the end of it. Whereas by one man, just like Adam, sin came into the world through Jesus Christ, there's a way out from under the sin. We take his payment in our place. Then his righteousness accounted to me, and I'm made righteous by Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. He's my hope and my righteousness. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is it. That's how I'm righteous tonight, the blood of Christ. My sinful life is now hid in Christ. It's not counted against me. Isn't that wild? Just like those Old Testament saints over in Hebrews 11, by faith Abraham, by faith Noah, by faith the harlot Rahab, and received the spies. Man, they did some pretty sinful stuff. Never mentioned on this side of the cross. Colossians 3:3, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, if I could draw, I'd draw a picture like Brother Phil Gabbard had and put on that board a body and then a soul inside that body and then the spirit inside that soul, which is dead. When you trust Christ, according to Colossians 2, that soul is cut loose from the body. The inner man is cut loose from the outer man, buried with him in baptism. And it's a spiritual operation of God that takes place, and you'll find it over Colossians 2, around verse 10, in that neighborhood. And it's called a spiritual circumcision. And the Old Testament circumcision that God gave Abraham was a token and was referred to as the sign of circumcision. It was a sign of the new birth, something that was going to come about, putting off the old flesh. So that soul is cut loose from the body of flesh, and the sins that are committed by the body of flesh are not imputed to that new creature. They're not reckoned it. They're not counted against it. They're counted toward the sacrificial work that identified with the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ. Man, isn't that wild? And when the Lord saved you, the Bible says, whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. So God's working on you every day to try to bring, I pray that your whole soul, spirit, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He wants you to get it all together, and he'll help you to do that. But whenever you sin, we have an advocate with the Father. The sins are imputed to Jesus Christ. You confess it, you judge it, forsake it, and move on. It's what we do. What a salvation. That is really outrageous. That's something that we should joy in as Christians. Hebrews 2:3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? A lot of folks say, well, I think you got to live it. Well, who can live it? Well, I can. No, you can't. You just think you can because you commit one sin and you're in trouble. I'll talk a little bit more about that later on. But imputation means to reckon to or to charge to someone else's account. You'll find that 11 times. And the passage either is impute, charge, or counted. And the passage is about the divine imputation of righteousness. I'm counted righteousness. The Bible says of Abraham, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. You know how people get to heaven and all the different dispensations, you'll see all the, they get to heaven by doing what God tells them to do. God told Abraham, said, you believe me and I'll make your heirs as the stars of heaven. Bible says Abraham believed God and it was counted. He said, you believe me and I'll give you my righteousness. I'll count it to you for righteousness. What did he tell the Jew? You keep the commandment. I'll give you the Ten Commandments. Keep those, and I'll count it to you for righteousness. And along with that, he gave Levitical law, he gave a set of ordinances and statutes. Said if you commit a sin, you go down, you bring the sacrifice. And if they did that, they made it to paradise. And what God would always do, he would bring them to a place where they could find Jesus Christ. Because it's through the gospel. Everyone gets saved through the gospel of Jesus Christ. The ones in paradise got the gospel when the Lord went down into the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. Said he preached to the spirits in prison. Preached to the dead. And a lot of that's some kind of deep theology. How shall we escape? Abraham was an unsaved Gentile. And that speaks to us. We are Gentiles. Anyone who isn't a Jew is a Gentile. Three groups. You got Jews, Gentiles, and anyone who trusts Christ, whether they're Jew or Gentile, is part of the church of God. How did Abraham get righteous? How did he become righteous? By believing God. So can an unsaved Gentile get it in this age? How do you get it? Sure we can. How do we get it? By believing God. So then, before I believe God, the Bible says, according to Ephesians 2:12, I think, we're without hope, without God, and without hope in this world. Before I believed God and did what God told me to do in trusting in his provision for sin, his precious Son, Jesus Christ. All right. But through belief in Christ, even I can get in on the promises of God, just like Abraham. Abraham believed in the promises of God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. What Abraham saw, or what God saw in Abraham there in Ur of the Chaldees, was that Abraham would believe what God told him. Do you believe what God tells you? That's why we're real strong here on the Word of God. That's our sole authority. For what we do in this church is the Word of God. What saith the Scriptures? Another place is referred to as the Scripture of Truth. Because it's truth. You won't get the truth on the TV. You won't get it out of the news media. You won't get it out of the politicians. The sole authority for truth in all matters is that book. That's why we're so try to be so strict with it. What saith the Word? And we don't buy into all the counterfeits that come along. They keep changing it, rearranging it. Find something they don't like, or find something they think they can make a buck on, they change it around so they can get a copyright. And change it around so it don't rub up against their sin. I won't stay there, but now his belief. Abraham's belief was mixed with faith. He believed what God told him, and he had faith. And now, how about David? Back to verse 3, Romans 4:3. It says, what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. He had no righteousness. He had no way to obtain righteousness until he believed God. God gave it to Abraham as a free, unconditional. All he had to do was believe. God accounted righteousness to Abraham. He didn't deserve it. Abraham didn't deserve God's righteousness. He didn't have it, or he couldn't get it. And that's imputed righteousness. In verse 4, it says, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Does that make sense to everyone? If you're trying to earn your way to heaven, if you're trying to be good enough to get to heaven, then it's no longer grace. It's either grace or it's works. You know, there's not a whole lot of difference between a Muslim and some denomination that they're trusting their works to get them to heaven. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In other words, if you could get justified through works, then you'd have something that you earned. It would be of debt. Well, there's a bluegrass song I've heard sing that's so doctrinally messed up. Said, surely I will. If anybody deserved to be to heaven, surely I will. Surely I will. No. If anybody deserved to go to hell, it'd surely be me. But it's God's grace and his mercy. God says we're sinners. Says that none doeth good. None righteous, no, not one. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us by the washing of regeneration. When you got saved, that Holy Spirit of Christ entered you and quickened that spirit, regenerated. I mean, makes alive again. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us by the washing of regeneration, watch it, and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Wow, got renewed. What Adam lost, God brought back to you through the quickening spirit, his son Jesus Christ. So then without the imputed righteousness of God, you wind up with death. For the wages, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. So you show up without it, righteousness, then you pay the wages of sin, which is death. For the wages of sin is death, and the last half of that verse says, but, a word of contrast, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When I'm dealing with folks on salvation, I say, you don't earn a gift. It's either a gift or it's not a gift. You got a giver and you got a receiver. You got Jesus Christ willing to give, and he says, whosoever will. All you got to do is believe that he's who he said he was. Embrace it. Embrace Jesus Christ as your way to heaven. You can't obtain righteousness without him. Why is that? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You can't get righteous without the righteousness of Christ. Grace through faith. And that's unmerited. That's something you don't earn. Webster defines grace as the unmerited favor of God. And that's personified through Jesus Christ. Wow. Grace. Now, works would be merited justice. You earned it. Well, I've done this. I've taught Sunday school for 22 years. I did this. I drove the church bus. It's hard telling what all God's got waiting on me. That's not grace. Now, you earn rewards. You're saved by grace. What gets you to heaven is Jesus Christ. You can't earn rewards. There are 5 crowns spoken of. I don't know if I can name it. You got the incorruptible crown. You got the crown of life, crown of glory. What am I? Crown of righteousness. Did I leave one out? Crown of righteousness, crown of life, the incorruptible crown, crown of glory, crown of rejoicing. You accept the reward by grace through faith, and God will give you unmerited mercy. You try to work your way to righteousness, you'll get what you deserve or what you merit. But along the way, you commit one sin. Say, well, that don't sound fair. I mean, I've done all this good stuff, and I commit just one sin. And I die for that one sin? Hey, I'm not in charge. God's in charge. You know what the prophet Ezekiel said? Ezekiel 33:13. I've got it written down here. When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trusts to his own righteousness, we're talking about a man that's trusting on being good. If he trusts to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousnesses shall not be remembered. But for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. What the Bible says, you commit one sin. That separates you from God, because God's holy. He can't abide any unholiness. That's why you have to have the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. Without it, you've got a problem. There's no basis of fellowship if you've got sin in your life. No basis of fellowship between you and the Lord. Jesus Christ broke down that wall or partition into the holy of holies. Wow. James 2:10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. I mean, do you get the futility of trying to earn your way to heaven? Can't do it. Bible says you can't do it. If you could earn it, you've probably seen the bumper sticker. If you could earn it, Christ wouldn't have had to die. He died because you couldn't earn it. There's no way you could earn it. It's God's mercy. You commit one sin and you can't pay the debt. You don't have anything to pay with. Wages of sin is death, and the Bible says death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Wow, that's scary. I was scared of going to hell. That's a great motivating factor for me when I was a boy to trust Jesus Christ, because I didn't want to go to hell. I didn't want to have to pay for my sins. That's a scary place where the fire is not quenched, the worm dieth not. All right, I'm a sinner. I have no righteousness of my own. I'm a rascal. But if I could be, I'd do good. It's just, how do you find that? Paul said, to will is present with me. Man, I want to do good. Man, I sure, to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. You need to give up performing. Let God do the performance thereof. I will cry. David said, I will cry unto God Most High, unto God who performeth all things for me. You need him in your heart. You need Jesus Christ in your heart doing the good works. Wow, a man desires in his heart to be righteous, to please God. He don't want to be a sinner. So God gives that man the gospel, and the man hears the word of God concerning the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he reaches out by faith and believes it, exercises faith in that gospel. Then God gives him or imputes to him the righteousness of his son, Jesus Christ. Then that fellow no longer rests in his good works, but rather rests in Jesus Christ and in his righteousness. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest, how's that go? But only lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. And then my life is hid in Christ with God. God sees me, you know, he sees the righteousness of his precious son. Just like he overlooked a bunch of sinfulness and craziness with Abraham, and with David, and Rahab. God sees his precious son because I had sense enough and grace enough to trust in Jesus Christ. Wow. Want to please God? Quit trying to impress God by your good works. Step out by faith and believe the gospel. What do we do that we might work the works of God? This is the work of God, Jesus said, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. You don't do that, then God says, I'll give you my righteousness. That's what God says to do. The age we live in, you do what God tells you to do, like Abraham did what he told him to do, like the Jews did what God told them to do, to make it to paradise. Then we trust Jesus Christ. He that believeth on him is not condemned. I'm in John 3:18. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. There are going to be a lot of people at that great white throne judgment going to be trying to impress God with all the things that they did. Man, Lord, I want to remind you, do you remember what I did over here? Remember how I did all that neat stuff and good stuff? And boy, they thought I was something at that church. Matthew 7:22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then why profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. They may have done a lot of good things, but without knowing Jesus Christ, for that one iniquity, they will perish. Now here in Romans 4 and verse 5, it says, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Old Testament Jew comes to God and says, how can I be righteous? What should we do, as the disciples said in the New Testament? Old Testament said, what do I need to do to be righteous? God says, keep the law. And whenever you don't, then you go down and provide a sacrifice, like the ordinance and the statutes say. And that sacrifice will picture a better hope that's to come when the Lord shows up. Remember how Hebrews goes, it's better this, better covenant, better sacrifice, better Savior. Better covenant that would be revealed through the gospel of Jesus Christ. As long as he did that, then God would cover his sins and hold him blameless. That Old Testament Jew was counted blameless when he kept the ordinance of the sacrifice. Jesus Christ showed up, and the Jews, you know what the Jews did? They were looking at the letter of the law when he showed up rather than looking at the sacrifice. They missed the sacrifice because they were focused on the letter of the law. He was the perfect, proper sacrifice for a sinner, without spot or blemish. God says, man comes to God now as a sinner, an unsaved Gentile like Abraham, and I say, well, how can I be righteous? He said, believe what I say. God's always wants you to just believe what God tells you. Abraham looked beyond the natural unlikelihood of Sarah having a child, and by faith he believed God, what God told him. God tells us today to believe the gospel. Do you believe it? That's a fair question. Do you believe it? Well, I think you do. You better hope that you do. If you don't believe it, you need to. One of the disciples said, help my unbelief. One of the folks the Lord dealt with, Lord, help my unbelief. That's where trust and faith comes in. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. You step out by faith, say, Lord, I'm going to, the measure of faith you've given me, I'm going to step out it. I'm going to trust that you are the Savior. If there's none else beside you, I'm going to trust in you. I'm asking you, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I'm going to ask you the best way I know how to have mercy on me, a sinner. You think the Lord's going to refuse that man, that woman, that child that comes to him the best way they know how? Ask the Lord to save him. Lost Gentile jailer, he fell down before Paul and Silas. You know what he said in Acts 16:31? He said, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Come to Christ with a repentant heart, then on the basis of our belief in the gospel, how the Christ died according to the scriptures, died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again according to the scriptures. We've embraced that for ourselves. Yeah, I believe that. I believe that. Then our faith is counted for righteousness. Paul said this, Philippians 3:9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. Notice that preposition of? Christ's faithfulness is why I can get to heaven, because he was faithful without sin, without spot, without blemish to the death. Unto whom God, blessed is the man. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. My. Are you starting to get this doctrine of imputation? Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man to whom God imputeth righteousness without works. That's present blessing of God. Saying, verse 7, saying, and he's quoting from Psalms 32, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. That's future. There he just talked about past, but it's also talking about future. The Lord will not. That's future. Yay. Praise God. Doctrine of imputation. A lot of denominations can't, you'll never hear a verse on that. They don't get it. They think you got to do this and you got to do that. You got to keep you got to keep the rules. Brother Gerard's familiar with that. You got to keep the rules and the traditions and all that. No, you've got to trust in Jesus Christ. Then his righteousness is given to you. It's reckoned to you. It's imputed to you based upon your faith and what he did for you on Calvary's cross. I'm done. We'll leave a little early tonight. Doctrine of imputation. There's more. There's a lot more I could go into about Abraham and David, the differences there and so forth. But if you get that, you'll never doubt your salvation. It will set you free from those burdens of sin that has you burdened down. The doctrine of imputation. Counted to you for righteousness, your faith. That's outrageous. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Incredible. What page are we going to be on, Brother Jeremiah?
Page number 306.
Page number 306.